is refreshed, and at rest in your presence.
Lord,
in your presence, let the rain, let the rain of your presence fall on us.
Every day
that we live, with every breath we breathe, let the rain of your presence fall on us.
Everywhere
that we go,
let your presence flow.
Lord, let your presence flow. Rain on us.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your presence in our midst. We don't take it for granted. And as we go into the Word this afternoon, Lord, I come under the authority and the covering of my fathers and of the Lord Jesus, the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. Father, I ask for mercy. Mercy, O God, so that my infirmities will not stand in the way. Mercy to make me, Lord, an oracle of God, so I receive fresh unction and anointing from your throne upon my heart and my lips and upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren, so your word will flow like a stream of living water in power, in clarity, in purity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will accomplish an eternal work, making our wills more submitted, more humble, our minds more illuminated with a revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further filled and saturated to overflowing with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be transformed, Lord God, Lord, more and more to your image and your likeness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you grant us grace to be doers and not hearers only. Let yokes be broken. Let shackles be loosed. Let blind eyes be opened. Let veils be torn, so we see more perfectly the things that you have set before us, and we'll lay hold on them, nothing escaping us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for mercy to help me to be faithful, help me to redeem the time, to be concise, to be precise, saying only those things that are necessary, so that, Lord, your word will come out, Lord, the way you want it to. Lord, and indeed you will be glorified. Lord, your will and your purpose will be established in this time of ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. That song really captures what God is doing. And the title of the word God has, a short exhortation that God has given me, is Our Time of Visitation. Our Time of Visitation. We will know our time of visitation in Jesus' name. Amen. And Pastor shared with us 2 weeks ago, we're really privileged in this house. Pastor shared so powerfully about the season of tabernacles, showed us that there are jubilee cycles, you know, and that about the year 1900 to 1950, there was the season of Passover, you know, and then between 1950, you know, and 2000, there was a season of Pentecost, and now about 2000 to 2050, we are going to a season of tabernacles. And the essence of that season, as he explained to us, is that tabernacles is called the Feast of the Ingathering in Exodus 23. I'm not turning there for time because he taught us extensively about that. I'm just using it as a framework before we go into the message itself to show you that it was the Feast of the Ingathering. There was the gathering of fruits because it was an agrarian, agricultural society. And so there was the fruit of the love of God that God was harvesting in the lives of the in our lives at this time. And then it was physical fruit of crops. But now it's the fruit of divine love in our lives. And that fruit of divine love will now attract the approval of God. So God then pours out the power of the Spirit without measure. And then with that power of the Spirit without measure, we then harvest the nations and we close the age. That's what's on God's timetable right now. You know, and let's look at 1 John chapter 2 verse 5. 1 John 2 5. And Bible says, Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. So God's love can be perfected in you. You can get to a point where spirit, soul, and body, by the life of God, you can be perfect in love as God is. Amen. It's actually God making it open to us. We can't take it. He's the one giving. Amen. All right. And look at Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Quickly. Isaiah 60. Give me verse 1. Thank you. Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So he's speaking here in past tense. So it's a done deal. Next verse. Thank you. God is already seeing. He's seeing the end from the beginning. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. In the midst of that is the Lord arising upon us, and his glory shall be seen upon us. Next verse. And the Gentiles shall what? Come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Our light will attract not just the glory, but the character that upholds the glory. That character, the fact that you do it quietly, you do the most awesome things without drawing any attention to yourself. The glory is for God walking about in all humility. That is what is going to make the world really know, like cock their ears and say, what is this? We haven't seen it on this wise. This is our God. We have waited for him. Amen. So this is what God is doing. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says that the secret things belong to God. But whatever God has revealed to us, brethren, is for us and our children. And we're going to walk in it in Jesus' name. We and our seed and our household. Amen. That's the will of God for us. All right, so let's look at Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Next verse. This is Christ describing his bride, the bride of Christ, the church. Initially, she's a garden. We're all gardens. But initially, we're enclosed because God is doing a work inside. The plants inside the garden are an orchard of pomegranates, of pleasant fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. Camphire with spikenard. Next verse. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Next verse. A fountain of gardens, company. A well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Next verse. Awake! Awake! Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may what? Flow out. Amen. Let my beloved come into his garden, and what? Eat his pleasant fruit of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 1. It's a continuous discourse, as Pastor has taught us before. I am come, this is Christ talking, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. What does this speak of? It speaks of what God is doing right now in his church. Brethren, God is doing a work in our hearts in the church. Your heart is the garden. Your life, your heart is the garden. What is God doing? The north wind of holiness, the south wind of pleasantness, they are blowing upon the garden under the covering of spiritual fathers. Especially through the Good Morning Jesus prayers, God is accelerating the work. The work has already begun, but because God wants to, he wants to do a short work and close it up, he's accelerating the pace. And so he's asking all of us to pray together. Because where there's the corporate anointing, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, three puts 1,000,000. So in that corporate environment, there is a quicker work. The work is done at a quicker pace. He's hastening the work that has to be done. And causing that fruit to be prepared. And then he will taste it first. To see whether the fruit is ready. Then when it is ready, he will now say, eat, oh friends. He will bring other people. So he will send the weak. He will send the infirm. He will send the sinners. He will send the rich. He will send the poor. And you won't miss any of them. Because the fruit of love is perfected in your heart. This is what God is doing. Brethren, okay. And if you look at another typology of this work, is Isaiah 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert of the sin nature. God wants to make a highway of love in the desert of the sin nature. You must understand that the two of them don't go together. But that is the miracle of what God is doing. Okay? To bringing out a highway for our God in the desert. Ask the Arabs. The Sahara Desert. I don't know if you've seen an expressway in the Sahara Desert. Have you seen an expressway in the Sahara Desert? Cutting across. It's not easy. But God is doing it. In our lives. Next verse. Every valley shall be exalted. That's the work. The valleys of inferiority. Of low self-esteem. Not knowing who you are as a child of the King. You know, those valleys, he's exalting them. Every mountain and hill of pride. Of a sense of entitlement. He's bringing it low. Every crooked shall be made straight. No, the crooked, no lack of knowledge. You know, crooked is actually, oh no, the wrong knowledge that we use. The error in our knowledge. And then, of course, the rough place is the unbelief. No, and lack of knowledge. But God is straightening out. Look at the next verse. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has what? Spoken it. This is why we can believe it. Because who said it? The mouth of the Lord. Next verse. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Next verse. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Next verse. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. God is telling us that we should not be satisfied with any goodliness you think you have. Only God is good. And the test that God is bringing, only God in you can pass that test. So you must allow God into your heart. I must allow God into my heart until he fills us to overflowing. So that you have no part dark, no part your own. You are wholly sold out. Pastor Day was preaching this morning powerfully. You know, you are a bond slave. Your will and your meat is to do his will. You enjoy doing his will. That's what you're looking for. Brethren, it's important to now look at Luke chapter 3, verse 8. So this is the time of our visitation. What are you saying in your heart? This is the key, brethren. What we are saying in our hearts. Verse 9. Yes. Give it to me in verse 8 first. Jesus preaching this, verse 8. Thank you. And then after Jesus said this in the previous verses, he turned to the multitude and said, generation of vipers, who warned you to flee? Next verse. You know, was talking to people. They were Jews, Christians. Was talking to them and said, who warned you to flee? Next verse. Say, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Say, okay, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bring forth fruit, you know, he taketh the... Oh, no, give me the previous verse. The previous verse. Yes. And saying, he said, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of what? Repentance. brethren, repentance is not only when you sin, you repent. That's one level. That's one understanding. There is also the Bible says reproof of instruction are the way is the way of life. There is also you repent from one level of knowing God to a higher level of knowing God. To one level of godliness to a higher level of godliness is repentance. And that's what God is saying here. And say, begin not to say within yourself, in your heart, we have Abraham as our father. It's guaranteed. It's sure for me. That's a sense of entitlement. We must watch this spirit. Mommy picked it months. Mommy has been going on about this. Sense of entitlement, of ingratitude, and it's been ingrained in our consciousness. But look at it right here. I have Abraham as my father. I'm a Jew already. So, I mean, my own is sure. So his confidence is in his heritage. Some people's confidence is in their works. Like the Pharisee. I fast twice a day. I give tithe. I do this. I do that. It's not wrong to do those things. But it's wrong to put your confidence in them. For some of us, it's the success God gave us. The success God gave us is now the sign that, oh yes, he's with me. Doesn't matter, no matter what I do, everything is going on well. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Bible talks about the prosperity of the wicked in Psalm 73. Bible says it gave them the desires of their hearts, but it sent leanness to their soul. We are talking about a prosperity inside you, a prosperity of you personally. God loves you more than the things that he has given you. Jesus didn't shed his blood for things. He shed his blood for us. For us, our lives, spirit, soul, body, who you are. And that is what he's invested. That's the work he's doing. So he wants us to continue to allow that work to be done. And not allow these foxes to slow down the work. Or to stop the work permanently. We all know the story of Solomon. God came to him and asked him. And Solomon, by the help of the Holy Spirit, and also because of his heart and his father, you know, chose wisdom. But, you know, wisdom he chose was wisdom to be able to lead God's people. And that was good in its place. But after a while, because he didn't have wisdom to improve his relationship with God, and get to know God personally, like his father David. The same wisdom that he had became a snare unto him. Look at Exodus chapter 2. It's very important that nothing, you can't put your confidence in anything else except in him. He alone can keep us. Amen. He alone can redeem us. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. We're redeemed with incorruptible holy things. Exodus chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 4. And this is Solomon. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Everything I'm doing is going on very well. It does not mean that you are pleasing God. Stop inferring. You need to talk to God direct and find out really, really, and judge yourself by the word whether your life is really pleasing and not using secondary things to sort of infer that he's pleased with you or not. This is what the Bible is saying. Next verse. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. Next verse. I made me pools of water. Swimming pool. Solomon has swimming pool. Old Testament. Water wherewith the wood brings forth trees, all sorts. Let's jump to verse 9. All these things Solomon had. So I was what? I didn't hear you. So I was what? Great. And increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. But those are gifts on a tree. Not fruit. Not fruit. Next verse. And whatsoever my eyes desired, because everything was working for me. Whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. So I did everything I wanted to. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. But look at the end of it. Verse 11. And I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was what? Vanity and what? Vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And in Jesus' name, we will not labor for nothing or labor for waste in Jesus' name. This is what God is saying. Amen. We should, on the other hand, we should be like Zacchaeus. We should be like Zacchaeus. Amen. Luke 19. In this season, we should not be looking at external things. We should be working on internal things. Look at Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verse 1. Zacchaeus was an ordinary guy. He was living in the season when Jesus was alive and Jesus was around. So it's the same thing like season of tabernacles. He was living in the season of tabernacles. You know, it was a time when Jesus was going, he went about doing good, healing, doing all sorts of, and he heard, like everybody else, heard the word of God. And Bible says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Next verse. Quickly. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Wasn't a mean man. Next verse. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, a rich man. He sought to see. So the wealth did not obscure Zacchaeus' vision. Zacchaeus knew who he was. Zacchaeus heard what Jesus had said and had done. Zacchaeus understood that I need to see this guy. I need to see him. He had a desire to see him. He wanted to actually meet him, to know him. A rich man left what he was doing and climbed on a tree. How many rich men can climb a tree? Even those of us who are not rich, can we climb tree? I want to see somebody. I will climb tree. It's not a dignified thing to do. It's not dignified. He didn't ask anybody to carry him. He climbed it by himself. A sycamore tree. Seeking him more. Tree. Pastor taught us that. Okay. Next verse. And he ran before, climbed on second to four. He was about to pass that way. Next verse. And when Jesus came up to the place, there was no communication. No, this was no verbal communication. This was a spirit communication. It was a heart to heart communication. What your heart is yearning for, God can pick it. What your heart is yearning for, oversight around you can pick it. So when Jesus got there, the signal was very strong. I don't know whether you know, when you are, we are looking for signal. You know, when somebody go and pay for petrol in some places, they'll be doing their POS like this. And what are you doing? Oh, I'm looking for signal. When Jesus came to that place, the signal just went up. Pam, pam, pam. Ah, what's going on there? Ah. Word of knowledge. Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What happened? God linked them together. God's eyes run to and fro, seeking whose heart is perfect. So Zacchaeus had made his heart perfect. So Jesus got there perfect, made perfect, and said, come down, I must stay in your house. That's how God does it, brethren. Amen. Verse 6. They hadn't got into the doubt. He came down. Bible says, let's read it. And he did what? He made and came down and received him what? Joyfully. Next verse. And when they saw it all, they murmured that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. They were still saying it in their heart. Next verse. And Zacchaeus stood to shame them, to shut them up. God now made, God put it in Zacchaeus' heart, and Zacchaeus' heart was open. It was open. We will see. And behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. By calculation, Pastor taught us this by calculation, he gave up practically all his wealth. Of course, you know, he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And then if I've given anything, if you have taken anything from anyone by false accusation. I mean, that's the job of tax collectors, is to do things by false accusation. And so he knew what he was saying. So he came clean. Totally clean. You are taking it from him. I restore fourfold. Did anybody ask him to do it? No. Zacchaeus offered. So I put it to you that Zacchaeus had a revelation. He had a revelation of the glory of the riches in Christ. And saw that this one I have, let it not be a hindrance for me. So he gave it up of his own free will because he had better riches. The same way Moses gave up the reproach of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter for the reproach of Christ. It's the same way. It's by revelation. It's in the heart. It's light operating in the heart that made Zacchaeus do that. He desired a different type of wealth. Not the physical one that you get by any means. He wanted the wealth in purity, the wealth in righteousness, the wealth in godliness. That one. Then God can add the other wealth. Amen. But he was not going to allow this one to stand in the way of that one. So he gave it up. It's by revelation. That's why he offered to do that. The question now is, brethren, how many of us, how much of our seeking is actually to know God? Pastor Dewey said something powerful this morning. It stuck with me. He said, we serve to give. We don't serve to get. Ah, brethren. Oh, that be proclaimed from the rooftop. We serve to give. If you give, what are you getting? You are getting inside. The privilege of living and becoming like Christ is your reward. Philippians chapter 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 8. Philippians 3, verse 8. Give it to me, give verse 7. Yes. Verse 6. Okay, now give me verse 7. Thank you. Just to make sure. But what things, let's read together. But what things were gained to me, those I counted what? Lost for Christ. This is Paul getting the same revelation in the New Testament. Zacchaeus got it then. It's the same Holy Spirit. Next verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So Christ is a prize that we aspire and strive to win. And we don't allow anyone or anything to delay you or stand in your way of achieving that goal. That's what Paul is teaching us here. And that's what God is saying, brethren. We are unstoppable. Yes, we are unstoppable in humility. We are unstoppable in purity. Amen. And as we do that, that north wind is blowing. Then the south wind of pleasantness begins to bring the other things that they are added unto us. Amen. So it's the north wind and the south wind. It's the north wind and the south wind. But don't let the south wind take you away. Amen. As it took Solomon away. Amen. It requires that we deny ourselves. It requires that we humble ourselves. It requires that we despise the praise of the crowd. We must despise the praise of the crowd. Jesus has to do it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. But made himself, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So in the heavens, on the earth, everybody knows who he is. In the spirit realm. Everybody knows who he is. And yet he will tell them, keep quiet. Don't tell anybody. Shh, shh, shh. He will silence the devils. And the people that he tells, he will tell them just tell them personally, secretly. Not shouting to everybody. Why did he do that? Next verse. He made, in spite of who he was. Brethren, what are we that God did not give us? So if God is asking you to humble yourself to do anything. Why is it too much? To forgive that person is too hard. To let go of that hurt is too great. Eh, brethren? He said, Bible says, he made himself. You have to make yourself, oh. And it's going to help us make ourselves in Jesus' name. He made himself. You will make yourself in Jesus' name. I will make myself in Jesus' name. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Was singing about it during worship today. Took the shame and the disgrace. Who he was. You know where he was coming from. And went and became a man. And then in the form of a man. Again, he then took the death of the most shameful death there was. And the reproach. To set us free. And then we are now limiting the degree to which we humble ourselves. We limit the degree to which we deny ourselves. After he went all the whole way, right from out of this world, took upon our own form. Then when he took upon our own form, went even lower. And went to the lowest form. And went to the lowest place and the worst place for you and I. Brethren, we are debtors. There is nothing that you cannot humble yourself to do. Because he has set the bar. Jesus has set the bar. So if you are following him, I'm sorry, you don't have a choice. That's just the truth. Amen. Alright. So we need to obey God's word at any cost. Obey, or go to any degree to obey God. That's what God is telling. That's what this is about. And it's very important. Why? Because in this season, we all have times of visitation. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Says, to everything there is a season. 3:1. And a time to every purpose under heaven. So there is a season, general season. Just like there is exam season. But the day for math is different. The time for English is different. True or false? The day you write chemistry is not the day you're going to write sociology. It's different. So in that season of the exam, there are different times for different papers. The same way in the season of the ingathering of the fruit of love, there are times for patience. There are times for gentleness. There is a time. And you must be ready at that time. That's the essence of mercy. That you must be ready at the time of your visitation. Unlike the children of Israel, when Jesus told them, how I would have gathered you under my brood and brought the covering in their hearts. You must not reject covering in Jesus' name. That means you submit to it and you obey. That Pastor Lee was talking about that. Submit and obey. Hebrews, okay? Alright, so that's what God is talking about. Look at Matthew 25. It highlights this. Zacchaeus was ready at his own time. When Jesus came to Jericho, that was Zacchaeus' time. He had been going all over. When he went to Bethany, it was the season, but not Zacchaeus' time. He went to Nazareth, it was the season, but wasn't Zacchaeus' time. But when he came to Jericho, the Yoruba have been saying, something is passing near you. What are you doing being gentle? And reach out and beg and prostrate and say, please don't forget me. Like blind Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what God is asking. You reach out for mercy, brethren. The areas of our lives that there have been a hindrance. This is the season where the yokes are being broken. Where people are being loose. Bible says, loose yourself from the bands that are on your neck and sit down. This is the will of God for us. Amen. Look at Matthew 25. Quickly, verse 1 to 5. Just then the kingdom of heaven, just to show you that God is saying the same thing. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the dominion, total dominion of divine love. That's the kingdom of heaven over your spirit, over your soul, over your body. That's the kingdom of heaven by the life of God. Okay? Shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Everybody wanted to make it, and it was the season. Next verse. And 5 of them were wise. 5 of them are foolish. This was the way they lived normally. It was just the way they did their thing normally. But then the way you do your thing normally is the key. Your habits, they will make you in Jesus' name. I won't say the negative. Our habits will make us in Jesus' name.
get the right habits. Because the Bible says that de novo, that's how they were. How they lived was what made the difference. Go on. Verse 3. Quickly. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Difference. But everybody's still Christian. I wonder which category you are. You have to answer. But you cannot say that you didn't know. Because you're already here. Next verse. Verse 5. And when the bridegroom time, they all stumbled and said, thank you very much. Verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Time. Inside the season. A cry was made. And then everybody got up. And we now saw that, and those were all the virgins that rose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. It's not, you're joking. It's not like that. There is work. It takes work to put oil in your vessel. It takes work and it takes time. This is the key. The effort must be done over a period of time. So you must be doing the right thing consistently to be ready at the time. Joshua was ready when they came to Canaan, Gad and Issa. He was ready. He didn't even know it was the time. But in the season, he was ready. It's the readiness, brethren. May God help us to be ready in Jesus' name. In every area of life, you must be ready. 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 This is what God is saying. Be like Jesus. Ready. Have oil in your vessel. Bible says that we which live are always delivered unto death. That the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. That's the oil he's talking about. The life of God in our mortal flesh. Spirit, soul, and body. That's what he's talking about. Through prayer, through the word, through watching and praying, through obedience to authority, through walking in love. All those things. That's what he's doing. Make it a lifestyle. That's what God is saying. How do we do it? Honesty. Let me put it this way. Integrity is a conjoint of both honesty and humility. As we've been taught. It's brethren, we must be passionate about integrity. It's the key. Passionate integrity. That's what Zacchaeus did. He didn't pray any prayer. He was a tax collector, for crying out loud. He wasn't a religious guy. But in his heart, God had been dealing with him. And in his heart, Zacchaeus had been responding. He had been responding. What we see on the outside that day was just an announced play of trimming his lamp, so to speak. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have life of God on the inside. They had it from the outside by the mercy of God. So, I mean, that's what he was using. God was helping him to get the point. So if God could help Zacchaeus, brethren, there's hope for you and I. Amen. God can take you deeper and deeper and deeper in humility and deeper in honesty. It's very important. I put it this way here. It says accepting God's version of the truth. Truth can have many versions in this day and age that we live in. One person says this is the meaning of this scripture. Another person says this is the meaning of this scripture. What is God saying? It's what God said. Let the scripture interpret itself. Is what God said. It is the version that God said that you take. And that acceptance of God's version is honesty. Then the willingness to then do it is humility. You need those two. In this day and age, to be ready, you need those two. You know, delaying, rejecting it because it's not convenient. It's not. Imagine when the idea came to Zacchaeus to climb up the tree. They will call me a monkey. What was he doing? He's thinking about the crowd. You know, there are many times we do that. Who has believed on him? Thinking about the crowd. Who has believed on him? Thinking about the crowd. And we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he seeth, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. Thinking about the crowd. Think about the different ways in your life. How we think about the crowd. Crowd is a factor. Before we say yes or no to God. May God have mercy in Jesus' name. It should not be brethren. Look at John chapter 4, verse 7. The woman at the well. Before you label people and say that she was a harlot and she had this and this, look at people's heart too. It's the heart. John chapter 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria, yes, to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Is the way, she know it was Jesus. It's the way we are on a regular day. Your normal habits on a regular day. The way you talk to the security man, the way you talk to the gate man, talk to the driver, talk to the man that opens the door for you at the bank. The day you meet Jesus, that's the way you are going to do. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So her time came and they were having this conversation. Verse 14, quickly. Verse 14 and 15. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She heard those words. Wow! Really? There is a well that can give a water that a person will not thirst again? Next verse. He spoke in a language she could understand. The woman said to him, sir, please give me this water to drink. I beg you. But there is a price to pay when you come to God. Say, God, give me. God, do this for me. Do you have the heart to receive? Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Yes, he wants it to fall more than you want to receive. The question is, have you prepared your heart to receive? Have I prepared my heart to receive? That's what God is saying. Next verse. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come here. Or a day, go and call your husband. The woman answered immediately. Next verse. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And see the goodness of God. It means that God didn't expect her to tell him the whole story. God was looking for just a blade of honesty. Fanning it just for one single blame. See how kind God is. He's not saying you should get 100%. He's just saying do your best. Do your best in the circumstance. Just do your best and I will catch you. And she said, I have no husband. He said, you have well said. You have no husband. Next verse. And then opened the door for her to see that he knows more than she's talking about. For thou hast had five husbands, and him whom thou hast thou now hast is not thy husband. In that you've truly said. Looking at the good side. And the woman was like, her ears pricked. But guess what? She got the living water. She got the living water and became a water pot, like Papa Ralph said. Going back to tell other people about the water. And then compare her with the Pharisees. Luke chapter 20. They also came to ask God a question. Verse 2 to 8. And spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that even gave you this authority? Okay. There is a price. Honesty is the currency. Integrity is a currency in the realm of the spirit. And the more honest you are, the more you can get. But just say, God, give me. He's going to ask. He's not free. In the sense that there is a price, there's a responsibility you have to pay to get it. It's not money, it's heart. And spake unto you, saying, tell us, next verse. He now threw it back to see how much he could give. And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing and answer me. Next verse. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Or a day. Next verse. And they reasoned. This is where they make a mistake. Reasonings. Grave clothes. In the soul. Thinking humanly. You are thinking humanly and you are talking to God. And you are thinking humanly. Right from where you started your journey. He knows it. Psalm 136. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. If there is a thought, before I think it, you know the thought. So all the games we were trying to play was just futile. Look at the games we were trying to play. They said, if we shall say from heaven, he shall say, why then believe ye not? Next verse. But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. Verse 7. See their conclusion. May God have mercy on us. Hidden things of dishonesty. It prevents how much you can drink of the river of life. How much you can have of the love of God. And they answered and said, they could not tell from whence it was. Look at his response, verse 8. And Jesus said, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Go your way. I go my way. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. You see how important honesty is. It's a currency. Sometimes we pray and pray and pray for things. Pastor Dewey sends something beautiful on All for One. Sometimes we are praying about things that are character issues that we have to change. We are thinking prayer is the solution. Prayer is not the solution. Solution is for you to work on that aspect of your character. God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Next one. Diligent watching and praying under covering of spiritual fathers. It's very important to recognize spiritual fathers and to watch. You know, obey their instruction. And the key instruction is in Luke 21:36. Watch and pray always, that may be accounted worthy to escape. When you don't open your mouth to watch and pray, how on earth are you going to escape? You are breaking a law. That law sets you free from the law of sin and death. But if you don't put the law into oppression, the law of sin and death will ride you and dominate you. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Look at Jude 20:21. Just quickly, let's hear it running as we round up. Jude 20:21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But ye beloved, I'm Ebola, beloved. Say it with me. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your word. That's the word. Holy. The focus of your faith is holiness. Holiness. Be you holy as I am holy. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Tells you you can't walk in love without eternal life. If you're doing that, you're trying to make bricks without straw. It's going to be very laborious. And God didn't send us on that errand. Amen. All right. And finally, fellowship with God by following spiritual fathers. It's in the place of fellowship and intimacy that we change. Is in the place of fellowship where you're not ashamed to expose yourself to God, because you know that God has your back. God loves you sincerely and genuinely, and God is going to make it better. He's going to remove it. He's going to set you free. Amen. But you do that by following fathers. It is no, Jesus put it this way in John chapter 6 or 7, somewhere there, but it's in John. It says that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is somebody that helps you to know God. There's only so much you can do by yourself. Somebody takes you by the hand. It's a mentorship. Somebody takes you by the hand and tells you, this is how you do, this is how you do. Just like Haggai or Hige did for Esther to be able to know the king. He's the eunuch. The Holy Spirit is the eunuch for the Lord Jesus Christ. The fathers are eunuchs for the Holy Spirit. And that's how it works. So it's a relationship thing. It's fellowship and relationship that takes us in. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Round it up quick. All right. Now give me verse 2. Thank you. Let's read together. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. It's been in this house, by the grace of God, that life is been manifested to us. Amen. Under the covenant of our fathers, but to the glory of God. Amen. Next verse. that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's a fellowship of God and sons incorporated. The fathers bring you into fellowship. They bring you into fellowship. So don't, bottom line is, stop following from afar and draw closer. Amen. Thank God for good morning, Jesus. 1 and 2. Because there, people are fellowshipping. I say, you know, people say that, it's like, you know, you begin to know each other. It'd be better than just, hello, you've been in church, my church for 15 years. But I'm beginning to see how you think. I begin to see, you know, and we're all beginning to grow to that degree. But it's a personal thing. You have to make up your mind for yourself that for me and my household, this is what we're going to do. You have to follow and follow closely, because you can say you will walk in the path of life. You can start walking in the path of life, like Pastor Dave preached this morning, but you may end up not walking in the path of life. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. The story of Jonathan is a striking one. Look at 1 Samuel 18. I read from verse 1. Quickly, just go through it. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe. Verse 1, yes. Yes. And it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 3. Then Jonathan and David did what? They did what? Made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Next verse. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him as the son of the king, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. So there is no doubt that Jonathan was in covenant with David, and God ratified it. They needed one another. Look at 1 Samuel 19, verse 1 to 7. Just quickly, 1 Samuel 19. Just jump to 1 Samuel 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, to all his servants, that he should kill David. He had a covenant with him, remember? Now it says they should kill him. Next verse. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told Saul, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to kill thee. Covenant. He kept his part. Alright? Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place of the Most High, and hide thyself. Next verse. And I will go about and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I shall tell thee. Next verse. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he had not sinned against thee, and because his works have to be to thee word, be very good. Next verse. For he did put his life in his hand, and told him all the things that he did. Next verse. Verse 6. And Saul did what? Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swear, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Next verse. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David into Saul, and was in his presence as in times past. It's intercession. It's intercession. Intercession. So Jonathan was a praying man. Was a praying man. That's how their soul are knit in the first place. Okay? Right. See how the essence of this story is that, brethren, no condition is permanent. That's why after you have done things and all that, your Bible says, say unto yourself, I am an unprofitable servant, so that your head will not swell. Next verse. Verse 20. Give me chapter 20. Verse 12. Verse 12. So Mike, 1 Samuel 2012. That was, all right. And Jonathan said, O Lord God of Israel, when I have standed my father about tomorrow at any time or the third day, and behold, if there be any good towards David, and I then send not unto thee and show it to thee. Next verse. The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if be pleased my father to do thee evil, and I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he had been with my father. Next verse. And thou shalt not only while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not. I'm wondering, what's going on? Why is he, if it's going to be with David, why is he talking about dying? He's drifting spiritually, but he's still the king's son. The physical position has not changed, but the heart is moving. He hasn't moved much. He's still there, but he's moving. Next verse. But also, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. He's talking as if he's not going to be around. No, not when the Lord God had cut off the enemies of David from everyone from the face of the earth. Next verse. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. All right? We've seen that. Now, the last one. Chapter 23, verse 16. This was his time of visitation. All throughout the season, he had been doing well and trying to keep himself. But it's on to the end. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Encouraged him, prayed with him, shared scripture together. Next verse. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. Next verse. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood. And Jonathan did what? Why did he go to the house? I thought you just said now. That I'm going to be next unto thee. The inconvenience. The uncertainty. He didn't pay the price. And from then on, you can't believe it. That was the last time they saw each other. And when, if you go to 1 Samuel 31, where it talks about, the enemies of the Philistines killed, the first person's name they mentioned is Jonathan. The first of his sons, of Saul's son to die, was Jonathan. Why? So close. The ones that didn't even come near to David, didn't recognize at all. Those ones, they even died later. Because unto whom much is given, much is required. He had it all. He almost made it. He just didn't go there. He didn't follow closely. He was following in mouth and not in deed. I said, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. May God have, that's not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. We are going to follow until the very end. He said all the right words, but you know, he didn't do three things. And that's what I want to close with. Matthew 23:23. Pastor David touched on it this morning. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you hypocrites and scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgments, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. If he had been doing this diligently, examining himself, checking himself with the word, with what he knew, what he had said, the covenant he had made, and everything that he had said, you know, and where he was falling short, correct it and ask God for mercy so he can do better, and then walking in faith and staying, he's making sure he's staying in line with every word, making sure he's doing every word the way he's supposed to do it, he wouldn't have strayed. So brethren, we keep the weightier matters of the law diligently. We watch and pray. We keep our heart of integrity passionately, and we follow after spiritual fathers and enter into fellowship with God. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. All of us, myself included. Father, have mercy on us. Bible says by humility and by the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Humility is a lifelong quest. We never get satisfied. There is a mark of the high calling. There is a mark of humility we must attain unto. And we keep pushing until we get to that mark. Doesn't matter when the glory breaks and there's wisdom and prosperity and fame. Where will your heart be? That's why God wants to really establish it. Go deeper, 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 deeper within the veil. Ask God to help you.
Within the veil,
we now do come.
We now do come
into your holy place,
into your. Raise up a hand in faith. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me that there is beauty to be desired in knowing you and in becoming like you, humble, lowly, meek, and powerful and wise. So Heavenly Father, help me so that I will seek after you as the deer panted after the water. So my soul seeks after you for more of you, more love, more humility, more purity. Cleanse me from secret faults. Remove from me those things that offend. Help me to press in, keeping the law of the Spirit of life, doing judgment, mercy, and faith, so that you will grant me grace to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, and to stand before you in this season of glory, in this time of visitation, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jaka koko sengara mapapakato zeda na mantonga rika makutanto be arukaka osa so bere kaukakaka robo robo bobo popomba kasakanto benga wapakatanto se jekoka wasebe wabadiko rode baba bamba kasam bamba kaka kombe kakaka wapakaka kobaka tobasaka pika rekakanga rebakaka komani komari kobaba baba 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 rabaka jekaba
Rababa, Kakre Kamba, Popanka, Kasheka, Rabakata, Kangea, Rabo, Bele, Baro, Bele, Robo, Mara, Mele, Bara, Robocosea, Sanfrekela, Robobobokusima. In Jesus' name.
We worship you, our Lord, within the veil.
Father, we thank you for the word that has come tonight, this afternoon. We are so grateful. Thank you for coming to encourage us and to ginger us up. We thank you, Lord, for your eternal word, Lord God, that is being reproduced in us under the covering of our fathers. Thank you, Lord, because you count each and every one of us worthy, Lord, to escape these things and to stand before you, the Son of Man. We worship and bless you, our God. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. I believe the Lord would have us share one verse. Luke chapter 21, 36. Luke chapter 21, 36. Can you put it on the board, please? Luke chapter 21. 21:36. Thank you. Ha. It says, let's read together. It says, watch ye therefore. And do what? Do what? Now, how do you pray? Pray what? That. Pray what? Pray always. That ye may be accounted worthy to do what? To escape all these things. And to come, that shall come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. Tell your neighbor, you're going to stand. You will stand before the Son of Man. Because you will do what? Watch and pray always. You see, this thing is so beautiful. What Pastor said, everything he said is absolutely true. Cannot be faulted. But there is this particular scripture, which I myself hang on to every time. Say, Lord, you said that the entry level, you know, in everything is an entry level. Then there's higher level, there's higher. But the entry level to partake of what is coming, the glory that is imminent now, is this. It says, watch and pray always. Anybody can do that. Everybody can watch and pray. We all should be doing it. By the grace of God, thank God for the fathers and all these things that have been broken down to us. If you are watching and you're praying always, you will escape. And you will be counted worthy. You will stand before the Son of Man. Because God is a good God. Amen? So watch and pray always. All these things will be taught. Very simple. Every time you have time, say, Father, I confess our sins. Jesus, even have life. Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me to pray. You're not praying. It's the Spirit that's praying for you, through you. He knows where your weaknesses are. He knows where you need to pray about, what you need to pray about. And of course, like we keep saying, good morning, Jesus. Be part of it. Whatever God is doing, just be part of it. Make sure you're watching and praying at least that four times a day, right? And then every opportunity you have, once every 6 hours, right? And every opportunity and every temptation. Just, Father, I confess my sins in Jesus' name. You don't have to be a superstar, but you have to watch and pray always. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to watch and pray always. You will watch and pray always. So you and I will both be accounted worthy to escape and to stand at the appearing of Christ, in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace. Covering of our fathers, and they are the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We are above only and not beneath. So we Everything we set our hands upon to do is successful. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and He shows us His salvation, even the perfection and fullness of Christ. And so the Lord anoints us and imparts unto us the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. I share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest upon us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, this is your time of visitation. You will watch and pray always. You will be accounted worthy to escape, and you will stand at the appearing of the Son of Man. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.